Welcome to Eagle Eye.
What a break from Manoa.
Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe.
Tony Limbaugh into the 22.
Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hello, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please take a moment to like, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, kids, parents, coworkers, anybody. All right, today's show features USA fly half and extra chief center, Gabby Cantorna. We recorded this late last week prior to their dismantling of DMP Sharks, 76-5. Now, it was a big game for each of our Eagles in that match. Gabby had a try, 16 points from the tee. You know, Kate Zachary had a try. I think that's 7 on the season for her. JoJo got into the game pretty late, and a big first start for Rachel Johnson with 2 tries of her own. I think you can still watch the match. You need to get onto the Extra Chiefs YouTube page and give it a watch. It's a good one. All right, on to the interview. Gabby and I have a really good conversation about how the team has been really starting to mold together and improve together, getting to know each other on and off the field. We go into her kicking game, you know, what she's been doing, you know, how much training she's doing to make that better. And it's been a big part of their victory so far, a big part of their success. And we talk about what it would mean to pull on a USA jersey in a World Cup match. Now, it's sad to say this now, news came out yesterday that World Rugby has recommended postponing the 2021 Rugby World Cup. So, unfortunately, Gabby may have to wait longer to fulfill that dream. Oh, and Gabby finally gets a chance to tell everybody what kind of coach Rob Kane really is. It's pretty funny. Here's our conversation. Hey, Gabby.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Weather's finally nice here, so it's been a good week for once.
Wait, hold on. What does nice look like over there? What is good weather?
It's been like 50s and sunny and no rain, so it's actually feels, compared to what it was, it feels really luxurious.
So let's go ahead and we'll just get into it. I know you're probably itching to get out with, I don't know, what you do on a Friday night for a match, but...
Just cooking dinner for my roommates, actually.
Oh, yeah? What's on the menu?
I'm making my first paella without my dad. So, yeah, it's going to be hopefully good. Otherwise, potentially food poisoning for everybody. So I guess we'll see.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
You've had, what, a good week or so off? You know, what have you been doing to keep the time? You've been training, obviously. Did you get out or anything? Any sightseeing? Any free time?
No. So we're still in lockdown over here. Yeah. So, pretty much all you can really do is go for walks, and, you know, like take away coffees and stuff like that, which we have, I went on a walk today with actually Rachel Johnson, who's one of my new roommates. So we went around and did that today. But otherwise it's just been, you know, like hanging around the house. We hang out at our neighborhood basketball court and mess around when we get bored, but it's not been too much actually.
Something, I guess. But, well, speaking of the Chiefs, I mean, you guys are on a roll. You won maybe 5 straight, you know, some big wins over Saracens, Harlequins. You know, it looks like the team's really coming together well.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been a culmination point of all of our hard work for the past, you know, couple months. I really just think it shows how much we've come together as a group from, you know, when we first started. I think we always had potential, and we had, you know, a few spots in games where it looked like we could create to make some really nice things happen. And I think that, you know, the results is just what happens when we've been together for long enough to actually understand what the other person's going to do and kind of play off of them, so we can like link a lot better, which has been really enjoyable to be a part of.
What were the goals coming into this season? I mean, a completely new team. You know, Susie had certain goals for me, obviously wins, and you want to get to the playoffs and a final. But what were some of the general goals for the club itself?
I think for the club, it was mostly about trying to, like you said, get some results in and really establish ourselves in our first season as a strong side in the women's table. I kind of got in late, so I missed a lot of, the preseason meetings where that was something that they really talked about. But from the vibe that I was getting, Susie's desires to turn it into, and it is, into a very high performance women's environment that can, attract players and grow young England players as well, to kind of represent the Chiefs badge and make it a club that kind of has that stellar reputation that the boys have. So I think we've gotten off to a good start. There's still a good amount of work to be done as well, but I think that's really what the overall club goals are.
Well, right direction. I know viewership has been really good with the Exeter Chiefs feeds, at least on YouTube. I know that Saracens match with 125,000 viewers, possibly all over social media, and that's got to feel good. I mean, it's not just someone tuning into rugby, it's tuning in to see you and the rest of them play.
Yeah, and I think it's what it really is it's giving young girls the ability to see people playing at a high level, and it gives them something to look towards and to aspire to. I know when I was growing up, there it was a lot harder to catch a woman's game. It wouldn't be streamed on YouTube, but you couldn't really find it on TV. So unless you lived in an area that there was, an older women's side or even a high school side, that was pretty much all the rugby you were going to get that had women playing. So I think the fact that it's being streamed is really good for the next generation of women's players all across the world, because it does give young girls role models, and it does make the sport seem more accessible for them.
Yeah, you mentioned Rachel a moment ago. It's good to see her and Joanna to getting into the action with the team, and awesome to see Rachel getting a start tomorrow. Have you given them any, I don't know, words of wisdom? Because you've been there so much longer than they have.
Oh no, I don't really, I'm not sure if I'm one of those people that gives words of wisdom or if I've given them a hard time, but of course in that loving manner that you do with your teammates. But I think for both of them, it was really nice to see them come over, and have the, get to share that experience with them. And it is also nice to have that little piece of home as well, especially 'cause JoJo and I did play for the same club. So for them to have worked their way into the roster, I was, I'm really excited for them. I've been really happy for them, and it's been nice watching them, grow just with the amount of practice and rugby time that we get. It's something that is almost like a luxury for us right now, because usually you have to go to work full time and you don't get to spend this much time playing. So I think it's really benefited all of us, and I'm glad that they got to come over and experience it with us.
So you personally were just named Exeter Player of the Month. I mean, awesome, congratulations.
Thank
Did you get
you.
anything special for a watch, free rent, a pat in the back, anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Just that headshot put up and shared over social media, which is flattering because it is one of my better headshots that I've taken. I don't tend to take good ones. So no, nothing crazy, but it was, it's great to get that mention just because there are so many talented players on the team. So it's always nice to get a little bit of a shout out. But I think, I was nominated against Ebony, and I think that she's also had a great month in January, and I would debatably would have given it to her. So it could go either way, and any month is really how I see it.
How are you, or how was the transition from fly half to center? I'm assuming you played center before, right? This isn't
Yeah, I
your
played
first run.
center. I played center a little bit in college. And then I played my first year when I moved to Denver, I played center as well. So, not a new position. It's not really, I don't think it's that hard of a transition to go from 10 to 12, because you actually take moving that position out, you get a little bit more time to see and scan things. If anything, it's just really changed kind of the communication that I'm feeding in, because it's less, organizing, like you are organizing, but it's more of like where you see the space, and you're kind of asking for the ball to come to you when you do see that space outside of you or in front of you. So just a little bit of a change in, what I'm looking for and what cues I'm trying to pick up. But otherwise, I've really enjoyed it, and I have been really enjoying playing outside of Taylor as well.
Are you in? So I played center in college, as many years ago, and I was inside, and I was much bigger than the other centers at that point. So oftentimes they just had me crashing back towards the forwards, which I'm like, well, just make me a forward. But I did have some communication with my number 10, and I oftentimes I seen myself, I was like a 10 and a half. We would talk to each other quite a bit. Do you have that kind of, same kind of communication with your number 10 as well?
Yeah, I think Taylor and I definitely have a lot of communication coming between the two of us. And I try to, I think since I do play 10, I kind of understand the time crunch that she's under and all of the things that she has going on in front of her. So I try to give her information based on, where the ball should be going and where the space is, because again, you tend to laser in on the four or five defenders in front of you and you can miss easier spaces outside. So, yeah, I've just really tried to help her out when possible and give her any information so that she can make a good decision on where she wants to put the ball.
Now, your kicking game has been a big part of this team this year. Well, this whole time with Exeter, 41 points, I think fifth in the league right now. How much have you been working on your kicking game, or have you been working on it more than usual? What's going into your prep as far as your kicking game goes?
Yeah, so we have, I probably do, I do one big kicking session a week. We have Gareth Steenson, who just retired from the Exeter Chiefs men's team last year. So he's comes in and does kicking sessions usually on a Monday or a Tuesday with us. So we'll do like a, backs kicking session where mostly kicking from hand and grubbers, and then we'll do a little bit individual with like off the tee for me. And then I just try to get in a certain amount of strikes per day. So it's not necessarily, going out and taking a bunch of shots at goal. It's more of like just focusing on either my contact or, the my approach and my follow through sort of thing. So I usually go between anywhere from seven, which I know is an odd number, but 7 to 15 a day just to get those in. And it's pretty low impact on my body. So it just kind of keeps me mentally refreshed. And then on a Saturday before a game, I do a bit of a longer warm up, just so that I can make sure that I'm really connecting with it. But yeah, so it's a lot more like little small sessions than it is big kicking sessions.
So I've asked AJ McGinty this and Will Hooley. When you are standing there in a match and the ball's on the tee, you're lining up your shot. What is going through your mind? What is the important part of making your kick at that point? Obviously you're not thinking about your paella you're gonna be cooking that night, let's say. You're mentally seeing that ball go through the post. And can you explain that process?
So, for me, kind of like the routine I've developed is, it kind of mirrors my visualization. Why is that such a hard word to say? With my like breathing. So, because obviously I've been running, so it kind of I tie the two together so that I'm like back, like calming myself down and also using it to focus in. So usually I'll look obviously at the like the base point of the ball and then draw the line up to the top of the posts. And I sync like my eye transition with like my exchange of breath just to tie those two together and give myself a physical cue because it's not like it's something new. And then I'm picturing the ball coming through the usually the center of the post, sometimes like the center slightly to the right, but like up towards the top of the post, so where I'd ideally have it hit. And then on the exhale, I just like switch my focus back to the ball, and then I don't look at the posts again because for me, one of the more important parts is just making sure that I'm really hitting solidly through the ball and not coming away, because if I hit solid, it will go in a straight line about where I want it to go. So, yeah, I don't think I think about much, honestly. I think it's really just like I'm just so process driven in it that if it's a good kick, I probably wasn't thinking about anything other than just like where that ball was going and then just staring at the ball on the tee, making sure that I'm really hitting through the spot that I want to hit.
So it's mostly you're breathing at that point, especially late in a match, right? It's, I think even like shooters do the same thing. It's all in the breath before they pull the trigger. I'm not a shooter, but that's yeah, especially late in a match. And late in a match, let's say someone scores in the corner, are you ever thinking, get towards the middle? Come on, get towards the middle a little more, please.
No, I definitely used to do that. I don't really think about it anymore. No, yeah, it doesn't usually cross my mind unless like maybe if it was like really windy or something and I like knew like what like if the wind was coming like left to right and I knew the one corner was going to be terrible, I'd be like, God damn it. But that hasn't happened in a while, so
Well, lately, there's been some big news out of the RFU about the Premier 15s. The latest one's been about the amount of foreign players per club, and then the other one is the salary increases. So one's good, Obviously, salary cap increase is excellent for the teams. But the limiting the number of foreign players, I think either it's on the pitch at once or in the club. What is your opinion on that? Have you had time to think about that much? Because with your club, you'd be devastated. I mean, like tomorrow's match, yeah. I think I counted like at least half the team are Canadian and USA internationals.
Yeah, I haven't really given it much thought just because, you know, I like to just go day to day. So just, you know, focus today is actually just going to be on my recovery and then tomorrow it'll be on the game sort of thing. So it's not something that I've put a ton of thought into, but it is something obviously that will impact going forward next year and the way that clubs sign players. So it is obviously something that will impact me, but I can't say that I've given it a ton of thought as of yet.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the, you know, WPL, the leagues in America, obviously, hopefully be going by next year, but the standard of play rising every year, so it helps. You know, but the level of play in the Premier 15s is really unmatched in any other women's league in the world, or at least in the Northern Hemisphere. So I get what RFU is doing. You know, they want their English club, English side to be as good as possible, and they want more and more of those players in. But right now, I mean, wouldn't you think that it would be great, or maybe not good for the global game, the women's global game right now, to kind of restrict who plays at the highest level?
Yeah, I can see both sides of it. I think, I mean, it's one of those things that I can see the RFU side, because, you know, the only way their standard of play within their national team will keep growing is if they continue to develop their young players, and that makes sense. You need to make sure that you invest in your next generation. So that makes sense to me. But it also is, as somebody who is not English, it is, you know, a thought point of, well, it is the only league that is so this well supported in the women's game, but also that's not necessarily, I mean, that's more of good on them, less like, you know, it's their role to help make that for everyone, if that makes sense. So I don't really have, again, something I'd like. I can see both sides on it, but I don't have a particularly strong opinion on either way, just because it does at some point make sense in both senses.
So let's talk USA Rugby right now, okay? So congratulations on making the World Cup a performance squad. You know,
thank you.
What would it mean to you to be able to pull on a USA jersey in a World Cup match?
Yeah, for me, it's definitely been one of my goals and aspirations to represent the U.S. at a World Cup. So it would be fulfilling a dream of mine, and it would also feel like, you know, that everything that I've done has made sense and kind of culminated to that point. But at the same time, thinking that way, I don't want to not enjoy the journey that rugby and, you know, my aspirations of a World Cup have taken me on, because it has taken me to some great places, and it's also introduced me to a lot of my closest friends. So, yeah, for me, it'd be a dream come true, but also the journey has been better than expected. So I can honestly say I'm happy to be at the point I am and to be considered in selection. But even if I don't make it, I'm obviously still going to be rooting for the girls, because everybody else has given up just as much, if not more, than me.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the history of the Women's World Cup and how well USA has done early on?
Yeah, I know we won the first one.
Right. I think we went to the finals the next two times after that, but it seems like we've dropped off a bit. Or maybe not we've dropped off, but the rest of the world started catching up. You know?
Yeah.
Have you thought about it all? I know you're concentrating on Exeter right now, but have you thought at all much, like, what will it take for USA women to get back up to where they once were? Maybe even the top four or the finalists again?
Yeah. I think it gets, we as a country get better every year because people have been playing from younger ages. So, you know, I think our rugby IQ as a team and as a nation has gotten better because it is more accessible for people, and we are able to get talent from, you know, more teams and more places. So I don't think that our ability to compete on the world stage has anything to do with that. I just think it's more of an issue of how large our country is. You know, it's one of the great things and one of the hard things. It means we have a ton of teams and areas that we could get talented players from, but it does also mean that it is harder for us to train and play together, which this is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. So it's just that team cohesion and the familiarity of, you know, our tactics and what we want to do together. That's really the hard part for us. But I do think it is something that in the coming years, we can overcome and we can get back to the stage that we were. But I think even with, you know, the low amount of international competitions that we do play leading into a World Cup, I would say we do really well as a squad and consistently have.
Do you foresee you'll be able to join the team for at least their first week-long training coming up this spring, I think it is, or late spring? Are you going to be able to get away for that?
We will likely not be there for the first block that they have. So for us, it's a lot about they're doing a lot of meetings online and, you know, that sort of thing. So that's the way that we're mostly engaging. And then it's kind of on us to send in, you know, skill videos, and then the coaches are watching our game film. So unfortunately, just with COVID and the fact that our season got pushed back a little bit because of that 2-week break, we will likely not make the first training block, but the hope is that we would be invited to the second portion.
But you're in a unique situation where you're playing every week, and the others as well. And though, so the rest of the pool, though, they're not. You know, any word on how they're training or anything that Rob has put into work for them to train on their own? Do you know?
Yeah. So they, I know there's a good portion of the girls that have already, you know, moved towards the Denver area. So there's a decent amount of them there training, getting the lifts and conditioning in, and then also getting their skill blocks in. So that has been, I think, you know, that plus that first assembly that they did in the fall, I think has been really beneficial for everyone just to get their, you know, contact hours with Rob up, as well as the, you know, skill-based programming. They got to do about like 7 weeks of individual skills, which, you know, is something that I don't think we've been able to do before. And it's not really something that you get to focus on when you get into a large team camp. So I think that that's been really, really helpful for everybody back home. And I think it's going to, you know, show well once we get back into playing games. And then most of now until that first assembly that they get into is going to be, you know, they have a strength and conditioning block. They have a skill based requirement, but it changes per person. So everyone has their own contact coach that they, you know, are in contact with and is kind of helping them advise on, you know, what skills they should be doing. And everyone's submitting skill videos as well, so that you can get the feedback on those little technical skills. So we all still end up on the same page when we get back together.
So speaking of Rob, here's a good chance for you now. You heard how he feels about your kicking game and about how you're playing. How is he as a coach?
He is, it's a tough question, obviously. Rob doesn't, he's not very direct. He doesn't answer a lot of questions. So he kind of, you know, throws things back at you. So if you ever, you know, ask him, you know, like, oh, like I did this, is that right? He would be immediately like, what do you think? And it sort of feels like he's asking us to coach ourselves, which is either a really good way of delegating, or just like B, his way of saying he doesn't know. But I personally haven't been able to get to the bottom of which one it is. So he's either really good at getting us to expand our minds to get to the same place that he is, or he's really good at getting us to answer the questions because he doesn't know. But again, with like the accent and everything about him, it's just hard to tell because he, you know, he is English. So yeah, that's what I'll say about Rob.
Sorry, that's funny. All right. And last thing, and this is extremely important, obviously, your Instagram handle, Gab Can't Do Anything. What is that about?
Well, I'm glad you asked, actually. So you know how you can custom make Nike shoes?
Yep.
Okay. So when I was in seventh grade, that was when Nike Shocks were a thing, you know, those really ugly shoes with the, like, looks like coils on the back, but they don't actually do anything.
Yeah.
So I got a pair of those. They were like hot pink, bright blue. They're hideous. but I like customized them. So then I was like, oh, I'll put my name on them. I'm going to be so, so, so cool. The left shoe said Gab. So, cause I was reading it obviously. And then I tried to put Cantorna on the right shoe, but I didn't realize that they cut it off after five. So it ended up with Gab Cant. And then everyone at school made fun of me for that. So once I finally got around to making an Instagram, I just decided to lean into it, and take that as my Instagram handle. And I just never changed it.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah.
You need to start coming out with your own line of shoes now. Come on, you can get those.
Yeah. If I follow my old color scheme though, they'll be tough to look at.
You'll have to go like find a Miami team or something to play for with that color scheme. But...
Yeah. Somewhere warm weather.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Gabby, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you filling me in on what's been going on this season. Good luck the remainder of the season, and then good luck with the USA camp and the World Cup coming up.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.